Welcome to Off Topic, But On Point. I'm Odette Beer, and here we embrace the unscripted, the unconventional, and dare I say it, the unexpected. Because sometimes the best breakthroughs happen when you go off topic. Each episode, we dive into business, leadership, and life, exploring the moments that challenge us, shape us, and push us forward. So whether we're tackling entrepreneurship, collaboration, mindset, or even navigating resistance, one thing's for sure, we'll always bring it back to what matters. So get ready for candid perspectives, thoughtful insights that will keep you engaged, inspired, and maybe a little bit uncomfortable in the best possible way. As usual, I have with me my beautiful friends, Dr. Yanine de Kabul, also known as the Intentionalist, and Pastor Christo Pretorius, the Expander. Let's go.
Today's episode is extra special, not just because I get to sit down with one of my favorite people, but because we are talking about from heart to the bottom line and mastering alignment for business success. It's Odette's own book. This book isn't just your typical business read. It's business building that aligns the heart, the head, and the hands. And Odette calls this the trifecta of touch, influence, and empowerment. So it's for business owners, leaders, and entrepreneurs, you know, like people like you, our listeners, who don't just want short-term wins, but the ones who want sustainable growth, emotional connection with their customers, as well as loyalty. So today I'm flipping the mic a little and I pulled out some of Odette's most powerful quotes, things that she said that have stuck with me and so many of us. And Odette, I'm asking you to reflect on your own quotes and your own sayings and think of this, I would call a full circle moment. So the title of today's is The Heart Behind the Words and Full Circle Moments with Odette. But Odette, but first, we had a question from our subscribers, and I chose this one because it was actually so fitting based on what we are talking about next. So I'm going to give you the question and then we'll take it from there. The question was, how do you keep your heart soft when the breakthrough feels so hard? And this was based on our podcast that we did the last time about feelings.
Wow, that's a deep question. It's funny that you should ask that, because that's kind of, I feel like that's my existing journey. There's like a million and one things going through my mind right now. And I think probably the first thing is, it's not final. We have a tendency to think the thing that we're going through is final. And again, it comes back to the question Pastor C asked us, what would you like? And you said time, and I said perspective. Because when we look at the struggle in isolation, we're hurt, we're frustrated, and we feel like nothing's moving. And it's not true that nothing's moving. It's that in this particular moment, with our blinkers on, all we can see is this mountain. Actually, the mountain is a tiny little hill, and it's just because you're almost there that you're struggling and you're busy climbing. And that in that moment, we can see to harden our hearts. I know I do. As humans, our experience is to protect ourselves. That's survival requires protection. So the minute something hard happens, to protect ourselves, and the way we do that is to harden our hearts. When you harden your heart, you are not able to receive revelation. If you have a hard heart, you cannot experience the kingdom of God. You cannot experience breakthrough. You cannot experience miracles. You cannot experience anything that God has, because he says he wants a broken and contrite heart, one that is soft and surrendered.
You I love that, soft and surrendered.
You cannot go through life and experience all that God has for us if you don't have a soft and surrendered heart. What does that mean, though? you can't be callous. And I can say that because I am callous. I have built walls around me to protect me so that I don't get hurt. But that has also meant that my journey has been so much harder and so much longer because God's had to break down those calluses. He's had it all off. And the moment you become vulnerable before him, that's when you can experience breakthrough. And I think the biggest thing is to just say, Lord, this thing sucks. God knows. Like, God's, it's not, oh, thou for art, Mr. King. It's not, that's not how you speak to God. He's your heavenly father. And it's a conversation of, do you know that this sucks? And he knows it sucks. Let's be serious. He knows it sucks. But that the fact that you are vulnerable enough to say, Lord, this hurts. And not my will, but yours. That's how you stay soft. That's how it's in that moment where you say, I don't know where the breakthrough is. Heck, I don't even know if it's coming. But you promised me that I will be victorious in this life. So maybe the breakthrough looks different, but you promised victory. So I'm going to hold on to the victory because you promised it. It's putting our faith back into God as opposed to this thing that we're focused on or this thing that we're trying to push. And only when you do that can you stay soft. Only when you do that can you say, well, the people around me are just people. They didn't mean to hurt me. And even if they did, they had no idea what they were doing. The thing that was trying to kill me couldn't kill me because God's put me here for a reason and it ain't over until he says it over. So I'm still here. So there must still be purpose for me. It's only when we can say, Lord, it's yours. Good, bad, ugly, it's all yours. That's when your heart can stay soft. That's where you keep yourself in his presence. Because you know what? It's all temporal. It's going to pass. This is going to pass. The mistake we make is we think success is eternal. We think disaster and failures are eternal. It's not. It's a roller coaster. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. That's called life. It's not always going to be that
if
way.
We
stop thinking.
If we start, well, okay. Today, our day tip, today starts like this, it's going to be such an incredible podcast. Now, I already hear the heart behind your words and the real stories that shaped them. And that's what I love. I want to start pulling threads on some of your most unforgettable lines. I'll give you the quote. And then you give me the heart behind your words and the real stories that shape them. The first one is, being hard to reach doesn't make you look busy. It makes you look unavailable. Like, I could just see how you recognize that. That was brilliant.
You know, like all the movies you watch, they'll say, if you want to seem successful, never answer your phone. Because, or answer and to pretend to get one, or pretend to have a PI or VI or whatever. Like, maybe that works in show business. Maybe it worked for Donald Trump. I don't think it works in real life. I think if you're corporate and don't answer customers, I'm a contrast in this company. If you're a small business and you don't answer your phone, these people are in business.
They're either out of business or they're too busy for me. That's what you think.
They can't help me because the moment, especially when it comes to small businesses, when you're a small business and you're not reachable, the question is, okay, well, if you can't answer the phone, how are you going to deliver on whatever it is I need? Or what about when things go wrong? Because it happens, right? Things go wrong. And when things go wrong and you're not reachable, then people don't know what's going on. And the truth is, if we don't tell them, they make up their own story. The reality is most people make up horrible stories and it's disastrous. Nothing's true. None of it is even remotely possible, but in their minds, yes, they have broken the business or they have left to Kathmandu or they've taken my money or none of those things are true, but you created an environment where people can't trust you because now there's no business. And even if you come back and we're looking after you, already in your mind, you're thinking, well, I couldn't reach them the first time. Where were you all this time? trust, the distrust has already started. It's very hard to go from distrust to full trust. It's hard to do that. So you have to start with trust, and starting with trust means just answer. Don't be scared.
I like that. It's so true. Or if you can't answer, we've got this magic button that I will phone you back later or whatever the case is that you can personalize. Hello? You can personalize that button and put a heartfelt button and response into that. I say to my customers and my clients often, if you can't get hold of me, if you phone, please send me a WhatsApp. It simply means I'm in a coaching session and I can actually answer you on WhatsApp if it's urgent, or I can get you help right then and there. Yes. And sometimes it's just that clarity for the client as well that can help them to get through the process. You know, I've had requests where the client phones, it's as simple as I lost my password. I can honestly, in a session, quickly go in and reset your password. Simple things like that. So it's that clarity and that communication also that helps. But that quote was so brilliant. Being hard to reach doesn't make you look busy. It makes you look unavailable. So number two will lead into something that you just said, which is clarity builds confidence. Confidence builds trust, and trust builds loyalty. I've heard you say that often.
Yeah. I think we need to, even if you're not a business, even if we're just talking to moms and dads who have kids, if you tell your kids to do their chores, I don't like kids to do their chores. That's never a good instruction. Because this chore with this mom, it's the whole someone was going to do, everyone thought someone's doing it, and not. So it's not to be worthy. And when it comes to people's money that they worked hard for, and you're asking them for money in exchange for something else, whether it's a product or a service, you've got to be clear about what it is they get. I was mentioning yesterday with someone who's in business, and they're doing well in the sense that there's business running. The mistake they made is when they brought on the clients, they weren't clear about what the deliverables were. There should always be a design. Service level agreement, for those of you who are unsure. You should always be clear on what am I committing and what are you committing? And what are the timelines connected to that so that we bring to the amount of expectations? When you don't do that, then you get things like your client sending you a new request saying, hey, before I pay your invoice, I need this report, which is now going to take you 4 hours to do. It was never part of the agreement, but the client kind of feels that they deserve it. And you have to do it if you want to get paid. So now you've got 4 hours extra work. So it's not you. I remember seeing a meme on Facebook where the guy went on eBay and he thought he bought a toy Yoda. Instead, he got a toy Yoda. Imagine that. You thought you were buying a car. Instead, you get metal. Oh my gosh.
And a big price difference.
So if you don't get that right, a big price difference. Yes. He obviously thought he was getting a bar. It's not what do people think they're buying versus what are they actually getting. If there's a disconnect between those things, you automatically have distrust. When those things line up, then you have trust. Because right now I know that you will do what you said you would do when you do it, which comes to integrity. And only once I trust you can I be loyal to you. Let me ask you this, Dr. Jane. The businesses, or the, let's say the people, because all businesses actually have people, the people that you are loyal to, do you
trust
them? Okay.
No, I think it developed into that.
Exactly. It's a process. And we think in business, because there's an exchange, because there's a transaction, it's different. It's, think about your spouse. You got to know your spouse. They were consistent every single time. If you went on a date, they would pick when the date was, where the date was going to be, and you kind of just knew. You can't feel, well, is this where? when you get that out of the way, now we're like, okay, so if we can get the admin contractual stuff, then we can have a conversation, get to know each other, realize we like or dislike each other. And now we can start building trust with one consistent thing after the other. It's not, I'm suddenly trust you because you did this one thing. It's building every day, and you're either building trust or you're eroding trust. And only when you've consistently proven to me that I can trust do I become loyal. I can't be loyal to someone who's like juggling. Look, today you're great, tomorrow you're young. How can we go to that? Because I never know what I'm going to do. And that's how the clarity, trust, loyalty works. First clarity, because you're going to trust if we don't know what we're going here. And once we've got trust, then we can say, like, well, now potentially could be loyal to you because your values resonate with me, because I know what I'm getting, because I get the same thing every time. A successful business isn't new products all the time. It's repeatedly delivering the same result every single. That's what builds trust. That's what builds loyalty. So now when I refer your business, I know that the people that I refer you to will get the same service. They'll get the same delivery. They can trust you because I trust you. I've seen you deliver. Then you're going to come to me and say, business you referred me to. So now we're good. That one was no good. We have to think about these things. That's how people become loyal, because they know if I tell my friends about you, you're going to do the same, if not better. Now
I like that. It reminds me of a conversation Pastor C and I had last week about keynote speakers and how interesting it is that they have 4 or 5 keynotes that they speak on. And when I read your quote as I was preparing, I was like, that is it. Because in my mind, and also Pastor C, we also always want to, and the same for you, we always want to add additional value and have the most innovative things. And we do. But if you look at the keynote speakers, they have the same 4 messages that people are clear about. Therefore, there's clarity. Because they've heard the message before, they have confidence that the next person hearing that keynote is going to love it. And it's bold loyalty, because every time that person delivers it, it brings value. So I'm not saying for one moment I'm going to deliver less value or I'm not going to be innovative. But there are certain of my products and the services within the business that needs to stay the way they are in order to project the clarity, the confidence, and the trust that creates that loyalty within the customer. And to me, actually, it became that this is the business's heartbeat. And if you're a listener today, then I want you to unpack this for yourself in your own journey. Maybe your lack of clarity is hurting you, and you can actually find out for yourself and figure this out, as what has changed. And when you find that clarity, it will then lead to the confidence, which will lead to the trust, which will then lead back to the loyalty. So this is not just for us, Oded, it's for the listeners as well, is to figure it out, is to find those moments throughout the show, which I call the aha moments. And it's like when that little light goes on, because that's for you as the listener. It's like, something I need to work on. This was for me. So grab those moments and work it out for yourself. The next one.
Also, I think I just want to add to that, Dr. J, when it comes to public speaking, keynotes or marketing, actually, one thing we always forget is that because we repeat, because we said it once, that A, everyone heard it, B, everyone heard exactly what we said, and C, everyone understood what we said, which we wanted them to understand. Very old communication thing where it's like, it's the message, noise, and then there's a receiver. Do you remember when you first started in management, they were like, oh, manage communication, message, noise, receiver. Yes. And what's up this? Do you remember? It's there. It's still the same. So when people hear you say something the first time, they hear everything. Check out every 30 seconds. Every 30 seconds. So of what I've said, people have already missed out half of what I said, because then check in and check in. your brain does this the whole time. So when it comes to those things, saying it once is like not saying it at all. Saying it once is like not saying it at all. We have to, if we have a message that we're driving home, we have to consistently say that message, because we are the world, whether you're in marketing or you're in keynote speaking, the world is bombarded with information the whole time. And that information is constantly evolving. It's constantly being refreshed. And people are looking for the one thing that they can hold onto that can grow. It becomes attainable. And they can latch onto it and say, I actually understand that. But when you constantly change your keynote or you constantly change your message, then people can't grasp it. It's just, it's too hard. There's too much going on. And I'm not saying don't change your product or don't change your message. Your main message must stay the same. If you listen to any of these podcasts, something that generally always comes up, community, accountability, consistency. Those three things always come up. The way in which they come up are different. They always come up. We always somehow, I don't know why I'm talking about it. That is how it is. Because that's my message. And we're not saying the same words around all of them at the whole time. But it does take accountability. That's what we need to remember. The world is changing, yes. Things are different, yes. Do you want people to remember you? Be consistent. Saying it once is not saying it at all.
Silence is not golden. It's a deal breaker.
And then, how do you feel when you buy something on the market and then you don't get an email, you don't get an SMS, you don't get a WhatsApp, you don't, there's just, your money has left the account. It is confirmed. You receive the F&B notification that so-and-so has paid so-and-so $3,000. Thinking freely. It just
I'm like, scanned. They got me.
Something else? Yes. They got me. And it's a lot of money. So again, now you're starting the relationship with they scammed me. I just lost one. Yes, of course they're delighted when the product arrives at the door. But the whole time, you're stressed about it. People remember how you made them feel. That feeling of being scammed, that feeling of worry, carries. So yes, you've delivered on the product. What I buy from you again? Unlikely. Because when they think about your brand, they feel that same gut twisting, something's wrong here. And when it comes to our teams, your business doesn't operate in isolation. Your business operates with a team. So when it comes to our teams, when we don't sell what we need to sell, when we're not clear about the deliverables, when we don't celebrate them when we're supposed to celebrate them, I said it before, people make up their own story. If you're not celebrating your team is saying, that was a good one. I should have done. That was the wrong thing.
But true. When I heard it the first time, when I heard you say it, I gasped, because it's the one thing we always get told. And if you're a listener, is where have you seen silence destroy your progress? And how can we train our teams to communicate better? We had something similar this week where we had to withhold information from one of our team members because we wanted to surprise her. And we were all saying, this is not a great feeling. I don't even know if this is a great idea, because I know for sure right now that person is feeling nothing but good. And that surprise better be great. Otherwise, it's not going to override that feeling. And as I said that, I was like, wow. What if we're doing the same thing with our clients? We think we're surprising them with something like the reveal of the website. Meantime, they're sitting back and they're thinking, are these guys working on my website? Are they, you know, what are they doing?
Yeah.
And I think we need to, in companies and within our customers, we need to build in feedback loops, because indeed, silence is not golden, Odette. It's a deal breaker. So goodness me, thank you for that one. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. You can tick all the boxes and still lose trust. You are saying that real loyalty isn't built on process. It's also a process alone. It's also built on connection, consistency, and clarity. That seems to keep coming up.
Predictable. Well, it sounds like you have been scoping my laptop because I actually just wrote a post this week about that same thing. Because, and guess where it comes from? I spent a lot of time before I understood customer experience, before I understood what any of that was. I was doing process engineering, I was doing Six Sigma work, and Six Sigma work is about customers, right? It's about delivering for the customer with the least amount of debt. And then it kind of evolved around what does it mean. So initially, access for you, easy, no problem. And then I moved into the insurance space where there's a box, but there's a human behind the box. And I sat in claims forums where we debated at length, should we pay this grandma's claim? She's lost $100,000, $10,000, whatever. She's lost it. Should we pay it? And sometimes the conversations were quite flippant. It was very much like, it's not the procedure says X, Y, and Z. Check, 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 check. No. My job was, thank goodness that was my job. Job was to simply, would you do that to your mother? If your mother submitted this claim and said, come to my house and stand in the corner, I don't have a corner and I need to get to work, and you say you're not going to pay my claim for whatever reason, would you do that to her? What would you do if your mother came home in tears and said to you, I had this insurance, I paid it faithfully, and now they said they're not paying money. There's a person that sits behind that. The same is true for banking, the same is true for marketing, the same is true for every single business. There is a person on the receiving end of whatever box you've just ticked. Then we move to Australia. Australia is really good at ticking boxes. Here, boxes are checked. Like, ample. Boxes everywhere are checked. But the box alone is not enough, because when you dig a little bit deeper and you start asking for a human interaction, when you start needing a connection, someone to me, they're like, not me. And that's where it came from for me. It's, we can check the boxes. In South Africa, TCF was a very big thing for a very long time. I was there. We could say, requirements of treating customers fairly. I do this thing and this thing and this thing. It's not the Bible and salvation. It's not the letter that bulls, but the spirit brings that. It's not the letter. It's not the box that matters. It's the spirit it's trying to convey that matters. And we miss that. We think if I've checked the box, then I've done my job. But it's our job actually to understand we need to check the box and understand what is the spirit. What did we want people to feel? What did we want the outcome to be when we put this box in place? Because the box is just there to protect us and the customer. If we're not protecting the customer or ourselves, we're just protecting ourselves and not the customer, then there's something wrong here. And that for me is where that tension comes in. It's we're checking boxes and that's great. When customers feel like they're an exercise, they're a number, nobody cares.
So it's kind of like a case of micromanagement versus meaningful relationship. You have to find the balance between the two. Clients rarely leave with a bang. Most just slip out the side door. Like, ouch.
Like with their feet. 100%. I guess sometimes Australians complain, but also not really. But definitely, in South African, we'll vote with their feet. We don't make an offer. We rarely tell you. I mean, yes, Hello Peter exists because people complain. 100%. Most people actually don't complain. Most people are unhappy about what happened. They will go and tell their friends about it. Australians actually also don't complain because they don't think confrontation. They will also tell their friends about it. In fact, post something anonymously on Facebook, quite brazenly, and never tell you, but also never return. So you don't know what went wrong. You don't know how to fix it. And that money is gone forever. I think that when I was working with the smaller insurance brokers in South Africa, one of my first questions would always be, where is your complaint register? And they will always, without fail, tell me. And I'm like, God, you get complaints. You get complaints. You don't write them down, but you get them. It doesn't have to say in the email subject, nothing. It's the frustrating words. Why is this not? You are late, exclamation mark. It's when people write you an email all in caps. That's an expression of dissatisfaction. If you don't and deal with it, they will tell their friends are lying from you, by the way, and they will leave. And if we think about it from a business perspective, from customer value, customer value is how much money someone represents in the lifetime of your business, or how long they can buy from you. And the longer they buy from you, obviously, the more valuable they become. That's why Jean Bliss talks about managing customers as an asset. Because the minute you start seeing it as an asset, not as a number, you know, if a customer who is unhappy represents $10,000, but a happy customer represents $100,000, then you're like, maybe I should find out why they're not happy. Maybe I should pay attention and think. And we think that if they don't complain, it's all good.
That's true.
Probably not. And I'm going to say the same is true with your staff. Those people who suddenly, you know, the lights are on, but nobody's home. They've checked in at the office. But you fight with them every day. You are a jackal of hide mess when you come in. Today, your friend meets tomorrow, you're grumpy. And they just have to manage your emotions because of the leader. You can't manage your emotions. And Dr. J said a very interesting thing in our podcast that if your emotions hijack you, then it hijacks your ability to lead. You should go and listen to that podcast. It was freaking, freaking good. But those people don't, not everyone can leave. So they don't. But they check them. Your stuff isn't done on time and in poor quality, their heart's not in it anymore when we need them to work late. No, I can't. Mm-hmm. But they can't, they can. You've given them no reason to. So they've left, their hearts have left to business, and first chance they come, they'll be on.
What does re-engagement look like when we catch this early? Because I think not just me, but most of us listening just realized that just because we don't hear the complaints doesn't mean that everything is right. So what does re-engagement then look like, and how do we catch it early so that we don't have people just silently leaving and quitting on us?
Then it's the matter of understanding our customer base. It always comes back to, do you understand who your customers are? If you understand who your customers are, you need to know what their behavior is. So how often do they normally buy from you? What do they buy from you? What are the intervals? And then it's about building in those strategic check-ins, not just to sell them something, because most often campaigns, they will send out a campaign to their database, which may be 10 people, maybe 10 million people. But the drip campaign will always be social proof, product benefits, social proof, product benefits. That's marketing. There's nothing wrong with that. What's not in there is, did you get? How are you kidding? Because being business can't afford to do social proof, benefits, sale, exit the camp. They've got bajillions of people on. They can afford it. So one in, one out, they've got a system. The system is training them. It's fine. Obviously for them, yes, it would be best, but they have momentum behind it. So they've got people simply coming in. So if someone needs a circuit, for one, they've left 20. Small business don't have the luxury. Small business is successful because they've built connection with their customer. People come from small businesses. Do you know why? Because it's local. When I speak Japanese, South Australia, we don't buy from China. We buy the South Australian. They will go and look for the product that's made by a South Australian family. So that becomes honestly, probably South African, right? So why are they buying from you? Because there's an affinity. Because we want to connect with something. Because your brand resonates with me. Because in South Africa, we buy into Ubuntu because we are. In India, we buy into community. We support local because local has is what grows the economy. It's what grows the community. So, really? So re-engagement means checking in with the people because you actually care. And surprise, you can't do a fake check-in. If you don't care, don't even bother picking up the phone or sending the email because people aren't stupid. Most of us have our radars on. And manipulation, if you pick up the phone, they can hear. You can put a smile on your face. People know. When someone is disingenuous, you just walk away going, oh, it was a waste of my time. But where did you go today? What's the kids? And their first response will probably be, oh, gee, I know I haven't placed an order recently. But it's just like that. I wanted to know how you are because I care about you. You're a human being. Yes, you are a customer. Yes, you represent a certain amount of money in my business. But before all of them, you're a human being that supports me. And as far as humanly possible, I want to support you. Now, the bigger question is, why do you do that? The answer to that is you teach your team. So it does mean that you can't flippantly employ people because you've got to employ people who emulate your values. When you have employed them, you have to train them and you have to onboard them properly. This is the language we use. This is speaking to our customers. These are the words we use. When you speak to them, you're slang. When you write an email, you will never use cap locks. You'll never use red. Like semantics, and it sounds like controlling. But if you don't do those things, then it goes wrong and your customer receives a different culture. They feel the culture. They don't like the culture. They leave. And successful businesses replicate the result, but you can't be the result. It's your team, so that they know what success looks like. What does this flavor of JDC exec smell, taste, feel on? And then replicate that so that whether it's Dr. J phoning or me phoning or someone else phoning, it's the same experience. The same value. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. You want it.
It's like you've got my notes. I'm just saying, because you're talking yourself into your own next statement. Which is competition fights, community thrives.
Look, I have come to the conclusion that competition doesn't even exist. Does not. And I'll tell you why. If you are operating in your unique gift, like God has created you for this earth ball, and I'm operating in my unique gift, we simply come to competition means same, same. There are two things competing for the same thing. Those two things, for competition to be true, must be the same. If I'm unique, and if you are unique, can there be competition? They can. When I embrace my difference, when I embrace my uniqueness, I attract people who are like me. Same for you. And those people also, by the way, are unique. We're not cookie cutters. It's not like there's three of me walking around. It's people who resonate with my message, with my values, with the way I talk, with the fact that I'm candid and straightforward and this just is what it is. When we can have conversations and read around that, you, but there is no competition. You're quite this. I'm speaking to one of my clients not so long ago. She said to me, this is other guy. She's also a marketing company. And she says, this guy is, he's duplicating everything I do. He's replicating my posts. He's replicating my word for word. And I said, what is it? It's great. So when people copy you, that's flattery. Thank you. And you can't duplicate me because people buy from you. People buy from people. I buy from Dr. Jane because of Dr. Jane. Not because of the words she put on a page, because words mean nothing if you don't have the that sits behind it. Again, it comes down to people aren't stupid. We know. Because it's so competition and community. And community is based on who we are and how we create an ecosystem.
It was so interesting
together.
Yesterday in our marketing cosmetic session. It's one of our flagship programs with the marketing. So we ran it and we were talking about websites. But before we started, we asked them the question, what will your ideal website look like, right? So not in just in a few words. So we got things like modern, clean lines, easy to navigate, you know, those type of things. So as we went through the session, I asked them at the end to look back at the answers that they gave in the beginning of the session. And I told them, do you realize that those three or four words that you used to describe your website in the beginning of the session was actually describing you as a brand, as a personality? And that is so, I was like, that's what I want. That's the whole point, is that your brand, your website, your content, your blogs, your podcasts, your stuff must reflect you in every single way. That is brand. Yeah. That is the personality of your company that derives from the personality of the owner. And there in that space, competition cannot thrive because nobody can play in your league. No one. I love that. And I mean, we've spoken about it in previous session about co-opetition is where competitors actually come together and they thrive together in a community. That's what we're talking about because nobody has your juice. Only you have it. And like use it to the best of your ability to build yourself, your brand, your business, and your community around you. So, maximize loyalty through meaningful experiences. How do we do that?
Keep it meaningful. But no, I've been writing prompts, so you'll see these things coming in the next weeks, whatever. But if I think about when we came over to Australia, we came in the middle of COVID. It was terrible because it was COVID. And we were locked up in a hotel room for 15 days. 15, not 14. Jokes on you if you thought it was 14. Joke was on us as well. In the room. You were allowed to speak to people outside of your room without your mask, which is this. But we were blessed. It was a good experience. There was nothing wrong with it. We really can't complain about our experience. Nonetheless, we were up in a hotel room with two small kids. It can get quite. So basic things like you don't have milk at your disposal on the ready. The shops don't deliver to the hotel, so you can't even order online. I didn't know at the time, way too shocked to order online so that they can deliver. It was just like complicated. And I didn't have an Australian bank account. So insult to injury was just the order of the day. And there was one day that we phoned housekeeping and asked them to send us milk or something. I can't remember. I think the milk may have been finished. And if you know me, coffee. So that's not a good thing. We need coffee. And they sent the milk in a little brown, but on the brown bag, the housekeeping team wrote a note that said, you only have one. Make the best of it. Hope you have a fabulous day. Just at some point in my life, they just And it was moment after moment when they brought us coffee, they would write a little note that said, we hope you enjoy your afternoon tea. This is just a brand new day. Here's a couple of cookies. Right? It's, and this is where I talk about surprise and delight. Surprise and delight doesn't have to cost you money. It's just going to be sincere. And the meaningful experience with I asked for more. I would have been well within their rights to plunk a 2 liter milk in front of my door, knock and run. Because that's kind of how it went. They knock and run. Because everyone forbid you open the door and I'm covered in bread on them. It was so funny. Instead, they wrapped it in a brown paper bag and someone took the time to write an inspiring note. Had to sign it from the housekeeping team. I didn't know if there was one person who wrote 20 million of those and they just like had them at the ready. I don't care. That I felt in that moment like somebody downstairs who doesn't have COVID, who is Australian and from this country, recognize that as a foreigner, and as someone who has left the country and was in the lockup in a hotel, not by choice, is going through stuff and maybe someone needs to bring him a day. And that may have been the only way they could have done it. That's a meaningful experience. I can rave about that hotel. If you're wondering, it's the Pullman in Adelaide, CBD. That event, my book, like that team of people took care of me and my family in a way that goes far beyond having to pay for the hotel stay. We paid for it. It wasn't free. But they made it meaningful. It could have been a 15 day. Instead, they looked for ways to make it meaningful. My kids were little and we were still reading little kids' books. They went to the local libraries, got the books that were being released from the libraries into the community. So, you know, those that didn't have to be checked back in. And they sent a message to us saying, hey, we've got all of these books. These are the categories. These are where you can keep them. Yes, please, 50 days. Fine. But it's those small things that was meaningful for me. And it comes back to you need to know who you're talking to. Again, corporates have the machine to in one, no problem. They also have big data. So they data mine, they save everything, they track everything. They've got algorithms and AI and all kinds of decisioning agents that say, this was your behavior, blah, 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 blah. And it spits on all of these things. Yeah, magic, fantastic. More businesses don't have. But small businesses in who are you speaking to? Even on a just below the surface level, you are able to make it meaningful for them. And if you really care about your customer, and I mean really care. I mean not just, hey, please pay me. Okay. But really care about the people, then you're going to make sure that you make it meaningful. You're going to find what do they do? What do they look? They drink rage, send them there. It's that kind of stuff. Meaningful experiences. Doesn't have to be expensive. Sorry, my daughter. Peering through the door there.
Surprise and delight does not cost meaningful you money. Experience. That is surprise brilliant.
It really is as simple as just
manpower. My last question for...
That didn't take anyone. Sorry.
My last question for today is, if your heart could whisper one thing to every entrepreneur listening right now, what would it say?
You got it.
Love it.
I heard that statistic in a conversation I had about a month ago. And the person was talking about churches as a whole, but also entrepreneurs and businesses. And he said, there is no joy in the first 1 year. Now I'm like,
yeah.
And truly, what happens in the first 5 years? You figure out what you're selling.
Yeah.
You figure out who you are. That's you figure true. Out your team. You're building systems and structures. You know what that's don't true. Work. That's the first 5 years is all about figuring out what doesn't work. And then we have, again, we've got the tendency to say that those 5 years are the failure. But It's you're just learning. We spoke about it in our previous podcast. You're in a process. You just have to work your process. So again, you're not late. You're not failing. You're exactly where you're supposed to be. And if you've been called to do this, then you will succeed at this. So at night, if you weren't called to do this, then go back to what you were called to do. Not failing. Entrepreneurship is not for everybody. But if it is for you, just stick it out. Have faith in yourself. Once you, that's not hard work.
Odette, thank you for showing us that behind every powerful quote is a story. And behind every story is a human heart. And if you haven't yet, you have to get a book, From Heart to Bottom Line, Master Alignment for Business Success. It's on Amazon. Anywhere else, Odette, where people can get hold of the book besides Amazon? But I think Amazon is best. Perfect. I'll put the links into the show notes as well. It's full moments like this, practical wisdom, you know, frameworks that's going to shift how you build your business. And that's the purpose of getting the book. So until next time, it's keep it real, keep it on point, and keep your heart in the game. And don't forget to send us your questions, comment even, and email us. And hopefully next time we'll pick yours next.